Good morning.
I'd like to call the November 10th, 2011, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Kundig?
Present.
Mrs. Himes?
Present.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Sino's present as well.
Will all members of city staff who will be testifying please come forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'd like to ask all members of the audience and others who are in attendance, if you have a cell phone, would you please put it on either silent or vibrate mode, please? Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the October 13, 2011 meeting minutes? If so, are there any changes, amendments?
I have one question about the minutes. Sure. We had case number 5 with Mr. Carter, and I think...
What's the case number, Mr. Cundy?
Case number 5, CEB 71196. And I think that he was supposed to come back today. Is that what that says? I may be reading it wrong. And then I don't see it on the agenda. So I may be reading something wrong, but...
Do you want me to answer that?
Please.
I'm just waiting to see you. Typically, with automatic fine orders, the cases do not come back on the agenda because they're given the compliance date, and then it's a set fine from there. That's basically you're entering
so
your
we don't
fine
have
order.
To, okay.
Right, but just for it did come into compliance.
Okay,
if you're curious.
Are there any additional questions, or are there any changes to the minutes, amendments? Chair will entertain a motion approving the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Is there any member of the board who would like to disclose any ex parte communication with any respondent or any party of any case that we will be hearing or have heard?
And also, if anybody on the board has any questions, sometimes we have a question about what's ex parte and what's not. And certainly at this point, you can bring it up. But if anybody does have any questions, feel free to bring it up.
Are there any announcements?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Members of the board, something, an addition that's been a change to the agenda is a section of the agenda where we will make announcements at the beginning. We spoke with the chair about this, and this is something we're doing with both the board and the magistrate. And that's at the beginning of the meetings, we will announce cases that are in compliance, any that we intend on withdrawing if we have the intent to withdraw, and any continuances that we're aware of at this time. So at this time, let's look at the agenda. Oh, I'm flipping. That's what I mean to there. Case number 6, which is CB 051170. The address is 707 Harvey Avenue. That case is in compliance, 10/31/2011. Also, case number 10, CEB 09/11/138. Address 206 Main, I'm sorry, address is 9 South Halifax Avenue. That's in compliance, 10/12/2011. Case number CEB 10/11/145, which is number 11. That address is 226 North Adams Street. That case is in compliance, 11/2/2011. Case number 13, CEB 10/11/147, 646 Cherry Street, compliance 10/20/2011. Case number 14, which is case number 10/11/149, address 535 Cannon Street, that's compliance 10/28/2011. 2011, case number 15, which is case number 10-11-151, address 137 Kingston Avenue. That's in compliance 10-31-2011. Number 19, which is an addition, which is case number 11-11-155. The address is 517 Earl Street. That's compliance 11-3-11. Case number 20, which is case, number 20, which is case number 11-11-156. 905 Gibson Street.
Gibbons.
I'm sorry, 905 Gibbons Street, compliance 10-31-2011. Another addition, that's number 21. Case number 11-11-157, 124 South Adams Street, compliance 11-8-11. And at this time, we are not aware of, we don't have any withdrawals, and I'm unaware of any continuances at this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jackson. In addition to Mr. Jackson's explanation, the board members might also notice a difference in the process this morning, beginning today, in the way that the inspectors and other staff members may present the cases. You'll notice a change, and this probably will go forward. We'll be utilizing this particular process going forward. If anyone has any questions, we can address those at the end of the meeting, of course. But again, you will notice a difference in the process today. Okay, and this is to make it more expedient and to make it more thorough, and also for the record, in case there are any challenges for the record, we'll have some information that will be helpful with every case. So just expect a little change, but I think it'll be a positive change. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question? When all these things come into, all these places come into compliance, we had asked to see pictures of the compliance. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't.
Generally, Ms. Kundick, we don't necessarily look at the pictures of compliance before and after, but every board member has the opportunity to look at those after the meeting if they choose to do so.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any members of council that are present this morning? We'll proceed with our lien review. It's lien review number one. The case number is CEB 1009191, 1595 Third Street. Previous owner, Andrew Stewart, is the respondent here. Please come forward. And good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you state your name, please?
Andrew Stewart.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Vicki, what can you tell us about it?
Good morning. My name is Officer Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CE 10-09-191, City of Daytona Beach versus Andrew Stewart. Property address is 1595 3rd Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 11-15-32-06-00-0290. The violations were Land Development Code Article 18, Section 7, and International Property Maintenance Code 304.3. Peeling paint, mildew, stains, exterior wood surfaces were not protected from the elements. The statutory requirements for notification of this hearing have been met by the notice of hearing and affidavit of code violation being sent to, through the mail to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office, and the green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. Amending that, the green card was signed for when the notice was sent for the hearing back in 09, which I'll present later. All items for this case, as well as photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through F, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this meeting. The first notice was mailed on this case on July 23rd of 09. The letter was returned to us on August 21st, 09. The property was officially initially posted with notice August 21st, 09. The notice of the hearing in 2009 was mailed, certified mail, 9/15. That green card was signed for on October 2nd, and that hearing was held on October 8th. There was no contact at any time with the property owner. Numerous inspections were made, and the neighbors complained about the state of the property. Taking into consideration the fact that the property is now in compliance, due in no part to the property owner, that the violations were not egregious, and that the property owner made no effort to contact this office or to rectify the violations, the city would recommend reducing the fine by 50% to $1,575.
What was that amount again?
$1,575.
Thanks. Mr. Stewart, would you like to say something as well?
At the time, the property was going through a foreclosure, and I was unaware of the terms and conditions of the lien. And I don't have a problem with the reduction. That's what I was asking to come. That's why I was here, for asking for a reduction of fine.
The city inspector has recommended the amount of $1,575. What's your opinion about that? And the board still has the opportunity to adjust that if necessary, or if we so desire.
Well, I'm unable to pay for that right now. I'm here because I have a property now that I'm living in. My primary residence is also in the process of being foreclosed on, and I'm going through a process of a short sale, and therefore I was unable to sell the property now due to the fine that's imposed.
Can you tell us, Mr. Stewart, why you didn't correspond with the city or the inspector regarding the violations on the property?
At the time, the property was under foreclosure, mm-hmm. and I was unaware of the terms and conditions, and I thought that would be attached with the property with the foreclosure.
Was that a property that you were renting out, or was it occupied?
No, it was unoccupied. It was previously a rental property. Due to the economic times, the tenants were unable to pay, and neither was I due to the economic hardships. So, therefore, I had to allow the property to become foreclosed.
So any other member of the board like to ask Mr. Stewart or Ms. Langford any questions?
Yes, please. Vicki, is the property, you said the property was in compliance now?
Yes.
Do you have a picture of that showing that in compliance?
I do not.
Mr. Stewart, how long has the building been unoccupied?
I'm not sure. I would say 2009. I'm not aware of if the property is occupied now or not. Like I said, I had went through a process of foreclosure. So.
So the bank owns the property now?
That's correct.
Are you aware of the name of the bank, Mr. Stewart, as to what bank owns the property now?
Not now.
Who foreclosed against you?
I believe it was Washington Mutual.
Looking at a list pendants that includes J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Actually, this one that's a defendant here. Initially, it was Deutsche Bank. As trustee for Long Beach Mortgage Loan Trust was the initial claim.
Thank you.
But somewhere along the line, Chase Bank with a successive interest to Washington Mutual Bank.
Thank you. So, Stewart, again, the inspector has recommended that we reduce the outstanding lien amount to $1,575 if the board agrees to that amount, setting that amount and requiring you to pay how much time you need in order to pay that amount.
Wow. with my economic conditions right now, I would say 6 months.
Okay. We agree to give you 6 months and establish that amount as what as the amount that should be paid back to the city to as a lien reduction. Are you certain you can pay it back in 6 months?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Based on a recommendation of the inspector, Vicki Langford, chair would entertain a motion reducing the lien amount from $3,150 to $1,575 payable within 6 months. If the respondent does not pay the amount of $1,575 within 6 months, chair would also entertain that the amount reverts back to the original amount of $3,150. Is there such a motion?
Second.
There's a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Smart.
Question. Are we releasing the lien by doing this or
no? No, we're actually just reducing it to the amount
we're
of
just reducing the fine, but the lien will remain for $1,500.
Yes.
So if you don't pay us the fine, you'll still have a problem with selling. The bank will still have this lien on this property to settle, won't they? Who's ultimately responsible?
I think the question, Tony, is now that the bank owns it, should we actually be placing this lien against the bank or Mr. Stewart?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Somewhere, I'm not sure. I know Mr. Stewart said a couple of things, and so I don't have enough information. But if I'm understanding, and he can help me here, if I'm understanding right what he's saying, as we all know, these liens attach to the person as well as to the property. I'm not sure if this is the property that he has to short sale, but whatever the property is that he's trying to sell by short sale, that's being encumbered by this existing lien, and that will remain encumbered until the lien's paid. And if that's what's prohibiting his sale, then it'll continue to prohibit his sale.
Okay. Did you understand what Mr. Jackson was saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
How do we determine the reduction of lien from $3,100 to
$1,575? Well, Ms. Langford made a recommendation.
Could you explain how you determine that?
I determine it through the... I don't have a formula.
Okay.
Exactly. But because it was there for a period of time, I didn't want to reduce it too far, and because there had been complaints, I didn't want to go too far down low because of the economic times and everything else. I want to be reasonable for everybody and still not have the city be totally responsible.
And it's approximately 50% of the original amount, or accrued amount, I should say.
Mr. Chair, if I can clarify one other thing, I don't know if you call for the motion vote or not, but you had said that the lien would revert, and it will revert with the continued uninterrupted accrual of interest, right? With the interest continuing to accrue.
Mr. Bourne, it's your motion. Will it will continue to accrue interest?
Yes.
Mr. Smart, you have the second.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Yes. If the lien is reduced to $1,575, do we have to go through some legal process to reduce that? So there's no expense involved in the city? Okay, because I thought you should pay that if there is.
No.
Okay.
This board has the opportunity to set the amount based on, again, recommendations.
So it doesn't have to be filed like you filed the initial legal.
If we vote on it and approve it, it's done.
Okay.
Understanding that the motion by Mr. Bourne states that if Mr. Stewart doesn't pay the $1,575 within a six-month period, reverts back to the original amount of $3,150, and interest will continue to accrue. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. Stewart, is we reduced the amount to $1,575. It's due, was payable within 6 months. If for some reason you don't pay it back within 6 months, the amount will revert back to $3,150 and it will continue to accrue interest. So please, by all means, make sure that you pay that amount within 6 months.
Yes.
If you run into any problems, speak to Ms. Langford.
And just clarification again, and I think it's probably unsaid, but 6 months from today.
Yes.
This is the county. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. like to ask all persons who may be coming forward to testify today or respond to your cases, like to ask as you come forward, please speak until the microphone is well, because the proceeding is being recorded. Okay, moving forward, beginning with case number one. Case number CEB-031139, Paul G. and Linda E. Carroll. Property is located at 136 South Peninsula Drive. Mr. Respondent here. Or is this just for a progress report?
Oh, yes. I guess the didn't merge right.
Oh, regress report.
I don't know what happened there.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm an employee of the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB-0311-39, City of Daytona Beach versus Paul and Linda Harold. Property address is 136 South Peninsula Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 0915-3302-030070 for a progress report. I have an email from the attorneys that they were arranging coverage, but the attorney hasn't shown at this time. No.
So you have a progress report. When was the date of where were we going to decide compliance or not?
We were waiting on the attorneys to take it through court. They don't own the property. They don't have the ability to take over the property, but they are maintaining it. This is what it was. They are cutting the grass and maintaining it every month. It is boarded up, and this was a progress report to find out how much longer it was going to take for the foreclosure.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Fitzgerald regarding case number one?
There's a current compliance date set for January 4th.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Okay. Our recommendation is a continuance till next cutoff, till next month.
Actually, we have a compliance date.
Yes. Progress reports for November 10th and December 8th, and a compliance date of January 4th is the current order.
Mr. Chair, the attorneys and have been working with us, so as far as the progress report for December, I mean, I think we can waive that and just come right into the January compliance date, so that this way it's not a waste of the board time or staff's time. And provided that they continue to work with the staff, I don't see a reason why to have to bring it back for the December cutoff, and we can just go ahead and go to the January cutoff.
Do we need a vote? Okay. Okay, great. Okay, we'll do that then. Thank you. If I can just back...
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. The existing order is an order that includes, expressly includes a progress report. So
right. I guess if we need to make an amendment to the order?
Yeah, if we want to amend it so that we're consistent with the order.
Does it have to be the person who made the motion and the second?
No, to amend the motion to amend the progress report for December, right?
Okay.
So it's a motion reconsidering.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent to bring the property into compliance by January 4, 2012, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Was that appropriate, Tony?
Yeah, that worked.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Boyne, second by Mr. Brown, with a question or comments by members of the board.
Could someone explain to me, Mr. Chair, Liz Pendens?
Liz Pendens is the action that's taken the first or initial step in the foreclosure process. The bank will file the documents. Well, I should have let Mr. Boyens do that. He's the attorney.
Basically what it says is it's an encumbrance on the property, and you can't place any more encumbrances on the property.
Okay.
This tells the whole world that there's going to be a foreclosure going on, and you can't continue to place liens and encumbrances on the property once that list pendants is filed.
Okay, thank you.
It's just a simple answer. The board, you want to answer it? I mean, that the
Mr. Chair.
I have a question, comment.
I think Mrs. Hyams is first. Mrs. Smart.
Okay, so we didn't need the person that made the motion for the November 4th to release it. To amend it.
No. Mrs. Smart?
I realize we have two attorneys here, and I'm not an attorney, but take a look at what we went through the last week. We already approved the January 4th for compliance. So don't we only have to approve eliminating the progress report for December?
Well, if you do that, by this motion reaffirming the January data and leaving out the progress report, you do the same thing. Okay. You're doing the same thing. You can do it that way, too.
I'm in the property.
You can get either way you get there.
I'm in the property.
No, you're right. You can do it with it fine.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Close, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on to the next item, I must have missed a lot of things when I was not here last time. The gentleman.
That's right.
Who went
to go to Hawaii. Missed a lot. I know you were having too much fun and doing too much work here.
For the benefit of Mr. Harrington, my name is Hector Garcia. I'm the code compliant. Let me rephrase that. Hang on a second. Let me look at my business card because title changes frequently here. But anyway, I'm the community standards compliance manager.
Okay.
What that entails is that I am the head of code enforcement as well as animal control for the city of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
So
he has his hands full.
Yes.
Okay.
That good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia has a wealth of experience worked in Altamont Springs and in Deltona in these areas.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And it sounds real familiar, that presentation.
I believe we did vote.
Yes.
On case number one. If I might, Michael, let me just take Vicki again. I should have called her her other case when she was here. Just to get things. Again, the process is going to be a little bit different today and going forward. What I should have done, I should have taken Vicki's other case. She only has two today just to get her out. And that's case number 7, if I remember correctly.
No.
Oh, sorry about that. 17. I knew there was a 7 in there somewhere.
Gotcha.
And just for the orientation of the board members, what we're trying to do is take all of each inspector's cases in order so that they won't have to sit around until they get to their cases. That'll allow them to get back out into the field more quickly. Okay. Case number 17 is CEB 1111153, Byron L. and Carol Wade. The property is located at 110 Jubilee Circle. Just the respondent here. What can you tell us about Vicki?
My name is Officer Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my my credentials are on file with the city.
Excuse me, does that have to be repeated each time? Is that necessary?
Just make a record for the record.
This is case number CEB 1111153, City of Daytona Beach versus Byron L. and Carol Wade. Property address is 110 Jubilee Circle, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number is 09153201000320. Violations are City Ordinance 90-297. All rental properties must have an occupational license. The statutory requirements for notification of this hearing have been met by certified mail being sent to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office, and the green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through B. and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during the hearing. The through posting, the owner of the property did contact me. He has applied for the occupational license. It's scheduled to be inspected this coming month. So by the time we have our next hearing, it should be taken care of. It's a newer house, should not be any issues. So we are right now in non-compliance, and we're looking to amend to the next cutoff.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Chair would entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and allow the respondent until January 1st, 2011 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time.
December 1st.
Didn't I say December?
January.
I meant to say December, excuse me. Chair would entertain the motion allowing the respondent until December 1st, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yeah, part of it was non-compliance.
Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Vicki.
Mr. Chair, before we move to the next case, is it possible with the intro just designating Mr. Bourne's question, is it possible with the intro, since we're taking all of their cases, that they only have to give that intro on?
Yes.
Mr. Brown, I'll address you on that. For the purposes of the record and clarity, if in the event that we do get a respondent that does challenge the board's findings and it has to go up to the circuit court will only hear that portion of it. So what I've indicated to my personnel is that I want them to clearly indicate each case individually so that if in the event we do have to go to the circuit court, which I hope and pray that we never do, but if we do, the circuit court could be provided with the full recording of just that case, not have to go through the whole process of hearing several other cases before they get to the individual case that they're looking for.
So I just want to make sure their intro is crucial to that.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Does that satisfy Mr. Bourne's? Sorry.
Not really, but if that's what we have to do, that's what we'll do.
Yeah. If I could follow up, I wanted Mr. Garcia to answer that first because, of course, it's something that he's instituted, and he asked me about it, and I thought it was a good idea. Quite honestly, I understand what you're asking because historically we seem like we've been fine without it. But that's I just made a note because I was going to address this at the end. And the circumstance really is that it could come back to bite us. All along the way, but it just never has.
Okay.
And so for us to up the game just a little bit and add a little more sufficiency to our presentation, I thought was a good thing.
No problem. Better shape than some.
Yeah,
this one.
This is the way we do it in Deltona, and it really doesn't take a lot more time. It really doesn't. And if we can just narrow down the purpose of appeal that one case, it might save, let's say, staff a lot of time and getting information to certain court later on down the road. So it's a good thing. It may take a little bit more time, but we're saving time, and now the compliance is up in front, so it kind of bouncing and happens.
Okay. Moving forward, we're going to bring Michael back up, Mr. Fitzgerald, and move forward on case number 3, which is CEB 051168, Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property is located at 229 South Grandview Avenue. Progress report.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald, Officer Mike Fitzgerald. I'm an employee with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB05-11-68. City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property address is 229 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 0915-3309. 030080. We're here for a progress report. Mr. Eckstein is here. They did pull a permit at this time for the redoing the front deck. Permit number is C1111023. It was approved 11/8/2011. And he has paid it, and he has the placard on him at this time. That's the update.
Morning, Mr. Eckstein.
Morning. Could you state your name, please, and raise your right hand?
My name is Chris Eckstein.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
What would you like to tell us, Mr. Eckstein? And this is regarding the peeling paint, rotting wood, screens, and broken window. Those are the violations that we're addressing for this particular case. I notice that you have two cases, but we're only going to address those right now for that, for
yes,
that
sir.
Particular cause. Okay. What would you like to tell us about it?
We're making improvements. The last time I was here, I didn't have any receipts, so I bought all my receipts. And we've done some cosmetic painting since the pictures that were taken in August that you just saw, and those were way back in March before the porch was removed. We've just been addressing the rotting wood windowsills, two rotting windowsills issue, and the bathroom floor. I'm not sure which case is.
No, this particular case is for peeling paint, rotting wood.
Okay. We have
screens and broken windows. Or broken window.
More or less your exterior.
Yes. I have painted the exterior to the level that I can reach, but I was going to have someone else professional do the higher places. It would be dangerous for me to go up 40 feet, but I have the money to pay someone to do that. I have spent over $4,000 in the last 6 months on the property. It wasn't $1,000 per month for 6 months, but it was $4,000 over the period of 6 months. I wasn't sure of the exact figures last week, but I do have the receipts this time. And and I now have a permit for the porch, and I'm going to replace the two wet rotting windowsills at the same time as we replace the or renovate the porch.
How about the windows, Mr. Eckstein? Have you replaced those? Or I believe it looks like it's one window that was broken?
Yes.
Has that been replaced?
There's no broken window on the property. Yes, sir. Okay.
Have the screens been purchased, or are you just waiting for them in?
No, I have not purchased or put in any screens, sir. But I will do that.
When do you think you might have those?
Hopefully by the end of the year. And
what's our compliance date on this?
March.
Okay.
Amy, it would be helpful if we have progress reports and there is a compliance date, if you would just list them for us.
You mean on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. List the compliance date?
Uh-huh, because this is the second request we've had.
April 4th, 2010. Sorry, I don't know.
You do see progress being made in this.
Well, they did pull a permit, have a company remove the porch. They boarded up the upstairs door to go out to the porch. They repaired the fence.
Hold on, Michael. That's the other case.
Yeah. I mean, the real bad part about it is that front facade that's just looking at ISD as you're driving in. Something I'd be looking at to do before almost anything else after you finish the porch.
So these are the old pictures.
There's also new pictures there.
Could you point out the new
pictures? And again, this particular case only relates to or involves the peeling paint, rotting wood, screens, and broken window. There's a subsequent case that's coming up next.
That's the new.
No, that's still the porch is still there. That's the new picture. 11/1/2011.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
See how the front facade works missing, siding, and that door. That really.
Mike, are you satisfied that we're making progress?
It's expensive, and they're trying. But again, it, you know, if you can concentrate on that front facade, you know, getting that.
Yes, sir.
That would be something that would be helpful for people driving down International going to the beach to see your house.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Eckstein, what have you done since the last month, in the last month on that property?
Painted that everything from the first place where the tiles are missing, mm-hmm. at the junction between the first and second floor, everything from there down has been painted, everything white.
On and the front facade there?
Yes.
Not on the sides?
And on the sides.
And on the sides. Mm-hmm.
And all of the rear unit up to the level I could reach also. And I pulled the rotting wood off of the front porch, and now I have a permit to rebuild it.
Are those cars yours? There's no one living there.
No, that's a tenant.
Oh, you have a tenant?
Yes, he's not paying rent.
I believe in the minutes, Mr. Chair, that it says if substantial progress is not made, the board reserves the right to take any action necessary to include opposing a fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean adequate, it says substantial, and I find a difference between adequate and substantial.
What did you say, Tony?
Sorry?
Wouldn't that lend itself to interpretation?
Well, that's
substantial versus.
Those are board decisions.
Yeah.
Well, there's two different cases here. I know one says right. Impose fine.
And that's
this
why
one, we've already set a compliance date, and he has time.
And I'm trying to keep everybody on track and make sure we're only discussing matters or issues that relate.
This is, I'm reading from the minutes of the peeling paint, rotting wood, screens, and broken window cases.
And
which is the correct, which is the case we're on.
Mr. Eckstein did state that he painted the building as high as he could. He's hiring a contractor.
He hired a contractor the wood to come out and remove the entire porch,
right,
which is what we needed to be done immediately for that life safety. And they jumped on that. They pulled a permit. It got approved. It was final. They paid the people. And then we were left with what it looks like now. I mean, they're trying. Of course, it's hard on people at this time with money, but he is putting money in and going there and working. And we did give him time.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing that on the permit that he's going to require a contractor, it was asked for by us and also by the building permit.
Building official.
If I could just, for Ms. Cundit, give you a better answer and a more complete answer. I think the answer from the city would have to be what the inspector's interpretation is. What does the inspector feel has occurred, whether the inspector feels it's been substantial, and then the board can make whatever decision it chooses based upon his view of what what's work has been done in relationship to the amount, what's been the ultimate outcome that we're seeking. So if we can ask the inspector whether or not he feels it's been substantial compliance, I think that would be a starting point that you can work from.
I don't think it's substantial, but it was continuous at the level that they could do. What I'm saying. I don't know.
Basically, you're saying they have made a good faith effort.
They have made
to
a good
accomplish
faith
the
effort. I don't know. I mean, you know, I would like to see the front of the building done. You know, just to even it out so it won't look so bad. Because that's the last property on Grandview that really looks bad. Okay.
Mr.
Sign.
Mr. Eckstein, yes. Do you think you could focus on the front of the building, the facade?
Yes, I will.
That should be the next immediate thing that's done.
I agree, it's an eyesore. Sorry. And that will be the focus of my restoration project. That porch and the windowsills and the matching the color on the front and repainting it and repainting the window sills on the front.
And matching the tiles.
I did
the siding.
Yes. Matching the siding
and closing that door of the second floor, removing that,
The contractor was talking about putting tiles over the door and making it look maybe a false window, even maybe.
Sir, can you step closer to the microphone, please?
Yes. I just like to add, when I was here the last time, I thought I was coming back on November 2nd, and it actually wasn't that date, but I haven't received the letter yet. Since then, that we painted and replaced the window and removed the rotting wood, and that's about all I could afford to do at the time, and I did bring my receipts from the money I've put into it from Home Depot and for
Mr. Exxon, are you certain you will accomplish, well, bring the property into compliance prior to the, or at least by the compliance date? I believe it was April.
April 4th.
April 4th.
I won't have a problem doing it by April 4th.
Okay, great. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board regarding case number CB051168?
Yes. What's our next? Oh, go ahead.
Mr. Eckstein, have you hired a contractor to do the porch?
Yes.
You've hired a contractor. Have you hired someone to finish the painting?
No, I haven't hired someone to finish painting. I've gotten a few estimates on it, but I have not actually paid anyone to do it because I don't have the money to pay anyone yet.
What do you think you'll be able to get done in the next month?
I should be able to do the porch, and hope, and I'm going to try to focus on making the whole front of the building look cosmetic and not such an eyesore that it is. And I apologize for it looking so horrible. That's just what the aftermath of having had the porch removed has made that building look bombed out, kind of. I agree that it is an eyesore, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay. All right.
Just asking real quick, let's see, what was my question? What's our next progress report?
Next month.
So we have monthly progress reports.
Mm-hmm. Well, bi-monthly.
So we'll see him back
in January. December 8th. Well, we added this one. We had it. So it would be December 8th, February 9th.
And then a compliance.
Yeah, December 8th and February 9th. Okay. And then back on the April 12th meeting if it's not in compliance.
Do you think you'll be able to secure the contractor by next month for the porch?
Yes, for the porch, I believe I will be able to have the. I believe the porch will be done by next month.
And have the permit final.
And have the permit final. Call the permit.
Have make sure that they come out and inspect it and get it final.
I don't know that I'll be able to do that by the 8th of December. I'll certainly try.
What's the estimate to replace your porch?
The estimate,
right?
$700.
Yeah, she's done 1 week. There's no reason why that shouldn't be accomplished by that time.
So he's having the porch replaced for $700?
Well, they're replacing the rotten wood. They're not going to replace the whole porch.
It sits
on cement. It's got cement foundation. It just
so you're not replacing what was there?
No,
it's just a new deck.
Just the bottom. Gotcha.
And it's very possible to have that done.
Okay. All right. So just understanding, when you come back next month, please try and have that done. And
yes,
if you get the permit approved, but at least make sure we have pictures of the work being done and the permit, waiting to be approved.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Eckstein, do you own other income property?
No, I don't.
This is your only property?
This is in foreclosure, and I'm trying to get a modification loan to keep the property. And with all of these expenses, it's looking very difficult. But that's my wife and I's goal, is to keep the property.
Okay.
So you are in a foreclosure process right now?
Well, we haven't made a payment in several months. But I don't know if actual foreclosure has started, but yes.
Has a list pending been filed, Mr. Eckstein?
But there's an attorney's working with my wife to get a modification loan and keep the property. And we would like to keep the property. It's in a good location for reselling it to a developer.
Has a list pending been filed?
Excuse me,
has
sir?
Has Liz Penninman filed? Have you been notified by the bank?
I don't think there has been such a writ filed, sir.
Okay.
They really have been working with us. I have their email. I am in constant contact with him and his wife. She was out of town, I guess, visiting her family back home. I hope that the front of the building is taken care of. That's the main thing, and I'm glad that you're working with us during this time.
Okay. I apologize that I don't have more money to move forward quicker than
just a question. It's off the whether you're in complete. Did you say you wanted to sell this to a developer?
Well, I've been offered by a developer a ridiculous amount two times in the last 6 years, and both times they couldn't assemble all the properties on the block to do their Publix or their condo tower were the two different proposals. So there's one side of contract was only binding to me if they managed to assemble the properties, which they did not manage to do. So I think that in a couple of years there's going to be something besides houses on that block.
I recommend that he go speak with Reed Berger with the redevelopment,
okay,
in reference to your property down the block and on the corner, and go down and talk to him.
Okay. If you can hold on just for a moment, Mr. Eckstein, we're also going to move forward on your next case, which is, well, that's Dan's
case. Mr. Chair, does it change the fact any? Does it change anything that the respondent has not made mortgage payments and is going into foreclosure? Does that change anything? No. Okay. Is there an I'm wondering what the incentive is if the property is going into foreclosure.
I think he would still have to do
It's still in violation, so...
He's not in foreclosure now. They've been filed, so there is no change.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He's the owner.
He just hadn't made payments. There's no action yet.
We would like to modify the loan so we can afford to keep the property and possibly get it a loan modification at the current appraised value and possibly hang on to the property until maybe it would sell to a developer, and I have reason to suspect that would be in very recent years. That's our incentive in wanting to keep it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Eckstein. Just hold on for a moment. We're going to proceed with your next case. Thanks, Mike. Which is case number CEB 1011140, Christopher and Anna Eckstein. The property is located at 229 South Grandview Avenue. Morning, Dan.
My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1011140, City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property address is 229 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 09153309030080. And the violations are dilapidated windows, doors, damaged interior walls, it's roach infested, damaged floor tiles, non-working heat, and non-working smoke detectors. The statutory requirements for notification of this hearing have been met by notice of hearing and affidavit code of violation were sent certified mail to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office, and the green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first class mail to the property owner. Of all items for this case, as well as the photographs that have been labeled as Exhibits A through J, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk's evidence, as evidence, copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. Based on the evidence provided, staff is requesting for a fine of $250 a day until compliance is achieved and capped at $20,000. I have had no contact with neither owners except for the last hearing where I spoke to him, gave him my number, and let the record show, I'm going to give him my card again with my number and have him contact me once he's in compliance so we can probably go forward on a lien review if he gets to that point.
Mr. Eckstein, if you would move to the mic again. This case involves dilapidated windows, as Mr. Garcia stated, and doors, damaged interior walls, roach infestation, damaged floor tiles, non-working heat, and non-working smoke detectors.
Okay. Smoke detectors are working. Floor tiles have been replaced. Window has been repaired, and there is no roach problem anymore.
Mr. Eckstein, I know this information was exchanged with you on last time. If this has been taken care of, why has no contact been made with the code enforcement officer?
Well, I don't want to pawn it off on my wife because she's not here to defend herself. But
it's just both of you, also that wouldn't apply anyway.
Yeah, she told me that she would take care of it, and then she notified me 2 days ago that I had to come here and appear. So here I am.
Sir, you say you have a tenant. Do you consider this property to be in the proper condition for a tenant, whether he pays rent or not?
Yes, I do. I think it is very, very healthy place to live. There's no health risk.
What's your opinion?
My opinion?
Yeah. Is this?
When I did my site inspection, there was three tenants.
When I did my site inspection, there was three tenants in the property. There was
three.
Residing there. There was a fourth one, I believe, but he was asleep. He was just visiting. The pictures show, you know, no smoke detector. To me, that's an issue, safety issue. This is the bathroom, how I found the tiles. There are also windows. A lot of them didn't open. You can see the pulley string there. It's broke. To me, it's a safety issue.
And there's no occupational license?
No occupational license. Doors, you could see that no handles on the doors or anything. So, yeah, I mean, and that's a closet right there, I believe. Like I said, I was only in there once. I haven't been called to re-inspect, so I don't know what repairs have been made.
Can you tell us, Mr. Eckstein, especially considering that you were here last month, following up on Mr. Brown's question, why haven't you contacted Mr. Garcia regarding the property violations or corrections?
I don't have a good excuse. I apologize. I can.
If I may interrupt, is he available to make a reinspection today or within the week to see what repairs are made?
Mr. Eckstein?
Yes, I am. I'm available today to make such an inspection.
We can do that and go forth on that.
Would you like to amend then, Danny? Amend our order till maybe...
Based on that, I'll allow it to amend to the next cutoff.
Okay. Based on the recommendation of Inspector Garcia, the Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allow an respondent until December 1st, 2011. Come into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, he must be in compliance with this by the date December when he comes back.
Yes. For this portion of it.
Yeah, if we can have it revert to the fine, if it's not, no repairs are made. Of this date?
Fine, certain.
That's not part of the motion.
Mr. Smart, would you consider amending your motion to make it a fine certain of how much? Well, Dan, what's your recommendation?
This is the apples and oranges now. Right now you have a motion on the floor with the next cutoff, so you don't have that interest in a fine at this point. Can't you, you know?
Perhaps they would withdraw. There are motions.
I'm sorry.
Well, I see what you're saying.
I think what staff is recommending is to, if Mr. Eckstein agrees, we go and conduct an inspection either today or within the next week. If, in fact, he has done the repairs that he's indicated here before the board, and it's up to the officer's satisfaction, then we'll amend to the next cutoff. However, if we go out, do the inspection, and no repairs have been made, then we want the fine to revert back to today's date, and then this way move forward. Does that clear things up better?
Well, isn't there going to be an occupational license required before you...
Well, that's not part of this case.
Well, it's...
We'd have to have a separate case for that. It wasn't included in this case.
Well, we need a case because it's a major concern we have in this area down there.
But it's not part of this case, so we can't discuss it.
I understand.
Tony?
So what's the point of the inspection? Just the physical property and not its use as a residence?
Well, if these repairs are addressed, if all of these things are addressed, then when they do have this occupational license, at least it'll pass. If you have an occupational license, if we cite him for that and it doesn't pass, he will get a one-time fine of $250, and it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
So we're actually ahead of the game by going this route than going by the way you want to do with the occupational license.
That's what my concern is.
Just after briefly speaking with Ms. Garcia, just a little clarification on what he was asking. We realized that the violator will be back before this board next month anyway. The point wasn't really for a fine certain for next month, but wanted the board to be aware that what we would be asking for is to revert the fine back to.
And we can do that at
and we'd address that at that time when it comes up at the next meeting.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
No. Aye.
Sorry.
And basically what we've agreed to, or the board has voted on, the majority, is that we've set a compliance date of December 1st, 2011, or we can entertain a fine up to $1,000 per day at our next meeting, which would be December 8th, 2011.
Okay.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you, sir.
Tom, if you want to come up.
Mr. Chair, did we dispose of the case number 3? Did we make a decision on that? Or I just
that was just a progress report.
Next month for another progress report.
That's all we did was a progress report next month.
Yes.
His compliance date is in April.
Right.
Okay.
Now we're going to hear case number 2, which is CEB041154, C & Son Properties, LLC. Property is located at 1065 North Atlantic Avenue. That also is just for a progress report, and Inspector Clegg is here.
My name is Officer Tom Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer and animal control officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Case number CE-2011-0030, City of Daytona Beach C and Son Properties, LLC, 1065 North Atlantic. Parcel number is ID number 3614-3209-02-0240. Violations are long form maintenance code, commercial long form. Statutory requirements and notifications of this hearing have been met by the notice of hearing and affidavit of code violation were sent certified mail. The property owner at the above address listed with the property appraiser's office, and the green card was signed for and has been submitted as exhibit. In addition, notice of hearing and affidavit of code enforcement were posted at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. All these items in this case, as well as photographs, have been labeled as exhibit A through L, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for use in this hearing. Based on this evidence, we would like to do is amend this to February 2012 cutoff date for compliance. What has happened is the company has hired a maintenance man, and he's living on the property. He's maintaining the landscaping. He boarded up some windows. The property is secured. He's the only person on site, and they're going to submit a monthly progress report to me. And they're going to enter into a trespass referral service, our system for the police department. Basically, what's going on is the LLC company is owned by a brother in Miami and a brother in New York City. And they had a death in the family in Israel. And I guess through...
I think there's someone here.
Okay.
Are you here for this property?
Yeah, John Dunn.
Yeah, he's the maintenance guy. He's going to be the witness.
Okay. Okay.
Did anybody dress up nicely? sorry about
that. Sorry.
Anyways, what happened is, I guess, their tradition, I guess, when they have a death in the family in Israel, they stay over there for a couple months. So what they're requesting is a February cutoff date. I talked to the real estate agent. They said that these people are players down in Miami. They have 80 properties, and they will have a contractor on board, and they will take care of these violations. Most of these violations are interior violations for the plumbing violations. No major life safety, and I said the maintenance man here has been in contact with me. He's doing some progress work on it. And I guess he wants to testify for us, too.
Before you leave, Tom, what was our original compliance date? I see it's here today for a progress report.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. Officer Alderman had
December
the case.
December 1st.
I think it was recent. That's why I wanted to extend it to February if we could.
And the property is vacant?
Other than this maintenance man right here.
Right.
Good, it's December 1st.
Okay.
You don't live on the property?
Yes, sir. I live on
the
property.
He has to be sworn first.
My name's John Knight. I live at 1065 North Atlantic Avenue, apartment 6.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And sorry, what was your name again, sir?
John Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Knight.
As far as the property, I came in a couple weeks ago. I've boarded up the windows. There was only on the upper floor in apartment 11, there was a broken window that's been boarded up. There was a busted window in apartment 10. I'm actually just going to replace the whole window today, the window pane, instead of boarding that up. The grass has been cut, trash has been collected. As far as homeless people, there were a few in there. I've got them out of there. I would like to do the trespass referral with the city so I can keep people out of there, you know, because that's one of the biggest issues there on Beachside is the homeless people that come in and out at night.
Mr. Knight,
yes, sir.
I'm assuming that you do have the right or authority to speak on behalf of C & Son Properties, LLC. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
When do you think you might have these violations corrected?
I spoke with them about that. I spoke to Ronan last night. He's estimating a couple of months. I know they're having some issues. I know he left for Europe last night. He's estimating a couple of months to bring it up.
Okay. Mr. Klig has asked that we amend the order, previous order, and allow the owners to until February 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. Do you think they can have it accomplished by that time?
I think if they apply themselves, yes. I've met a couple of contractors there. I don't know their final decisions on those contractors, but I do have knowledge of two contractors being there, one from Jacksonville and one from Palm Coast.
What were their ETAs? Well, I guess estimated time of fixing.
The roof, according to that contractor, is pretty much going to be a total replacement on the roof. The plumbing, I think that's where they're going to run into some time needed. You know, according to the plumbing contractor I spoke to, there's a lot of repair. He wants to pretty much replace all the old cast, all the old cast pipe and stuff like that that's underneath the building. So I think that's where they're going to run into the time on that.
Is that water still pumping?
Yes, sir.
What are we planning on doing about that?
The water. Which one are you talking about there?
It says illegal water pumping to city property.
Is that the one that was pumping onto? Okay, that's a drainage down in the lower back corner of the parking lot. That has actually been brought up. A contractor brought it up, put a new pump, and it pumps into the ground now through the wall. Instead of, it was a straight pipe that came up and just went over that wall and dumped onto the city property. Now it actually goes into the wall. So.
Go ahead, Ms.
Mr. Knight.
Yes.
You said that the owners have just left for Europe.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Klieg, I think I heard you say they were in Israel
now. They told me Israel, yes, ma'am. They were headed to Israel.
They are there now? They were there?
They were headed to Israel as of 1st of November, then the first week of November. One brother was, the other one was leaving.
So that they will not be available to do much if they're...
Correct. The financial, like I said, financial situation, like I said, they got some ritual that they have to stay there for a couple months.
Right.
And they put him in charge of it right now.
Okay. We were here for... Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
Do we have authorization from them for him to speak? I mean, he's speaking, but...
He said yes.
So we didn't need
anything. He is an employee of the LLC right now.
We were here for a progress report, but Mr. Clegg has recommended that we amend our previous order and allow the respondents until February 2nd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. So the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order and allow the respondent until February 2nd, 2012. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Himes. Sorry, I didn't hear you, Ms. Himes. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Is the trespass warrant in effect yet?
No, ma'am.
Could we add that into our motion?
Mr. Chair, I thought he said he had. Did you say you had met with the police department, or
I need to go there to do the trespass warrant. I don't really know how to do it.
And you'd be authorized to do that?
Yes, ma'am, through CNSUN, yes, ma'am. That was, when they hired me on, that was part of my responsibilities, was to just basically maintain the grounds, light maintenance work, replacing lights, et cetera, stuff like that, and basically keeping homeless people and transients off the property.
Are you still having an issue with that?
No, ma'am. Okay. No.
When do you think you might be going down to the police department to file for the trespass action?
I could go Tuesday, Monday, or Tuesday. Yes, easily. I just would need to know where to go to do that.
We were thinking about doing that right now when we left. So.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Bourne, would you consider amending your motion to include that the respondent also register with the, what is it, trespass?
Certainly. Yes.
Arrest
program.
Site program?
Yes.
Ms. Himes?
Yes.
Okay. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Knight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Let's see. Bring Mr. Fitzgerald back up for case numbers. Well, he's not here.
That was
That's right. Case number 6 is in compliance. Thank you all.
Now we'll go to Barbara.
Barbara. Case number 5 is CEB 0811107, Martha P. Taylor. Property is located at 38 and 36 South Hollywood Avenue. Here for imposition of a fine.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code officer, and my credentials are on file. The case number is CEB 0811107, City of Daytona Beach versus Martha Taylor. Property address is 38 and 36 South Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. The short parcel number is 5304-01-19-0090. The violations are Article 18, Section 7.3.1 and 7.3.3 and of the International Property Maintenance Code. It's Article 19, Section 1.1. Of the LDC reference Florida Building Code Supplement International Property Maintenance Code 304.2 and 304.6. Basically, it's for failure to repair and replace and paint damaged concrete walls, including crawl space, exterior walls, window frames, fascia, soffits, steps, railings, porches, and bare wood. The statutory requirements have been met. The certified notification has been signed on May 26, 2011. I do have exhibits A through K. The city is recommending to amend to the next cutoff to give him time. He is making progress. Actually, I have before and after pictures. That's an after. That's a before picture. He has put sod down. He's replaced and repaired the concrete walls. He's done the crawl space, basically, and he's done scraping, some scraping. The only thing that remains to be completed is painting. He does have a lot of cedar planks on his building. He would like to dye the planks and, you know, coat them with the clear coat and be able to bleach them.
Okay. I want to bleach them.
Just a second. You need to be sworn, sir. Can you state your name, please?
My name is Jay Taylor.
You raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Taylor, what is your relationship to Martha P. Taylor, the respondent?
I'm her husband.
Thank you. I didn't think you were Martha.
It's the jacket, isn't it?
It was. What would you like to tell us today, Mr. Taylor?
We enjoy the home. It is a rental. We enjoy it, and it's not been easy to think about keeping it because there's a lot of things. We have a mortgage due in August, $60,000. So we have to do something to get it. As you see, we've already started repairing that part. Yes, she took a picture of it.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Nothing's been done on there. We have this painter that I really like his business attitude, and we're trying to get him to help us with actually, you know, giving him a down payment and then paying over 2 or 3 months. He agreed to it, but now he's not calling me back. But I still like him. I'll find him somewhere. He's really good, and he's going to do everything else. We're going to bleach the cedar. We're going to bleach the cedar panels, make them look nice, and then clear coat it. So it'll look nice, and then everything that we're going to basically keep the same colors. We're going to go with the yellow and the brown. I think that is a nice accent there. And then we have a maintenance man that's a tenant there, and the inside is beautiful. The inside was done. I've seen pictures of other people's, and this inside is wood floors done well, and central air conditioner in the back. So. Everything else will be done. Will be taken care of by the painting, with the painting. And Barbara's been wonderful coming by and seeing me.
Do you think everything will be able to be done by next month? By cutoff for next month?
By January.
I don't mean. I don't.
December 1st. I keep saying January.
No, that won't. I'm trying to get. First of all, if the painter gets hold of me, it's a $6,000 job, so. And then I'm hoping that he'll take $3,000 and then go 3 months with that. Once he gets on it, it'll be done in short time. He's very good. I just got to get a hold of him. And we've had other bids and painters. They were just too astronomical. He's already been in the neighborhood. He's been $2 down. So I've seen his work. It's quick, efficient, excellent. So I'm waiting for him.
How about if I do a progress report in December? And we give them till January cutoff to be complete.
Will January suffice for you, sir?
Yeah.
You know that. with the stipulation, I guess as long as he's made good progress and he's almost, you know, that we could amend in January.
If I could figure out what I could do between getting this one particular painter that I enjoy. And actually, that's been within reason there. If I could do things that will help Barbara, you know, bring good recommendations, once I get him, everything's moving forward. Once he touches that house, it's all taken care of.
Let me ask you a question. Barbara, what did you say were the remaining violations?
Basically, painting.
Just painting?
Right.
That's okay. Okay.
Mr. Taylor, what's your plan B?
Just in case you can't contact this specific painter that you're interested in hiring.
I normally have plan B and C. It's just that I like him so much, I've thrown out anything else. I think plan B would Plan B would be
get somebody else. Get somebody else.
Actually, in the process of getting this guy, that sounds like a great plan B, and I guess I already implemented that, and other people either wouldn't want to touch it, or in a realm of $10,000, which at that point is doesn't even make sense. And then it would put me into another area of affording it. So I've already taken care, trying to secure Joe's affordable painting, I've taken care of Plan B, if that was your suggestion. And we did what might amount to every painter in Daytona. And the next step would be go to other areas, Deltona or something like that. So that would be, that's that there.
January.
January.
Ms. Collins has recommended a cutoff for a completion date, bring the property into compliance by January 4th. And I think, I'm going to ask the board to entertain that and maybe vote on it in just a second. So the chair would entertain a motion of amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until January 4th, 2012, to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Kundick.
Just a
other
question.
Sorry, yes,
Mr.
Chair.
Harrington. You have tenants. You have an occupation.
I have one tenant that's
occupational,
helping with everything.
Occupational.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
This is what do they call that? It's not in compliance.
It's a non-conforming. But he has, I don't know how many the house has, but then there is an above the garage.
Two in the main house. There's two apartments in the main house and one in the back. The person that's helping me out with everything is in the back apartment, and he's been doing the brick work and the cement work, and he's beautiful with that. He put the sod down. I'm just afraid to put anybody up, on the second story and everything. I think that's what the other gentleman's problem was, too.
Okay.
I think everything on the bottom could be taken care of.
This isn't from inside.
Well, at this point, Mr. Taylor, I think
what I meant was outside, the painting outside.
Yeah, that's what we have to address at this point. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Mr. Taylor, we've allowed you until January 4th to bring the property into compliance. If you run into any problems, please, by all means, contact Ms. Collins and keep in contact with her.
Okay, and that'll help contact you guys as well. I'll be here if you want me to be back here at that
hopefully
point.
You'll...
yes, sir.
Hopefully
yeah.
You'll have the property in compliance and won't
nice
be necessary.
Too, we're enjoying it. I live there. I live on the bottom floor there.
Well, like I said, if you're running any problems or have any questions or concerns, please contact Ms. Collins.
Okay.
And keep her abreast of the progress that you're
making.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 8 is CEB 09-11126, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. The property is located at 121 South Grandview Avenue. Mr. Respondent here. We're here for consideration of imposition of a fine.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code officer, and my credentials are on file. Case number CEB 09-11-126, City of Daytona Beach versus GEA Seaside Investment, Inc. Property is 121 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 04-15-33-01-09-0120. Violations are Article 19, Section 1.1 LDC of the Florida Building Supplement International Property Maintenance Code 304.2, 304.6 and 304.10. Failure to replace all rotten wood and paint the exterior walls, stairs, porches, railings, and steps. Failure to make porches, balconies, and railings secure. Statutory requirements have been met. Notification was signed on May 2nd, 2011. Exhibits are A through J. City is recommending $100 per day fine capped at $20,000. No work has been done.
Any response from the owner? None.
No.
Okay.
Other than that they, I guess, applied to the city redevelopment for funds, but no funds are there.
But no contact with you?
No.
Okay. Barbara, are we certain that we have an address, and I'm sure you used the property appraisal address for the respondent? Do you know if there's any other addresses that we may be able to contact the respondent at?
Well, I mean, when you say no respondent, she did fax me over. I think I don't know if you have it in your case. She faxed over a letter, what they sent. So, I mean, as far as any respondents about getting any work completed, no. Okay. They have gotten notice.
Great, thank you.
I mean, yeah.
Based on the recommendation of the inspector, Barbara Collins, she is recommending that we fine the respondent $100 per day, effective today, November 10, 2011, up to a maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Moving on, excuse me, to case number 16. That case number CEB 111152, Tambra N. Davis Management Trust, dated 6105. Property is located at 2301 South Peninsula Drive. Is the respondent here?
No.
What can you tell us about it, Barbara?
Hello. My name is Barbara Collins. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code officer, and my credentials are on file. The case number is CEB 11-11-152, City of Daytona versus Tambra Davis. Property address is 2301 South Peninsula Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number is 5322-03-06-0010. The violation is Article 19, Section 1.1, Land Development Code, referencing Florida Building Code Supplement International Property Maintenance Code 304.2, 304.6, 304.7. It's for rotten wood on the roof, fascia, and exterior door, rust on the garage door, and to paint exterior walls, windows, frames, fascia, door frames, and doors. Statutory requirements have been met. Notice of violation was received and signed for on December 1st, 2011. Excuse me, 2010. I do have exhibits A through J. The city is recommending noncompliance. Actually, I would like to ask for a progress report next month. I do have information she sent to me, facts, so if you want to read. She has gone through a lot of work. She's having trouble getting insurance, and she doesn't want to put contractors to work. She's working with architects. She would like to, it's a two-bedroom house. She would like to make it a three and expand the house which would also require the roof line and change of the roof. So instead of just going on and repairing the roof, she might want to... this property actually sits on... There's three parcels. So there's a lot she wants to do, but like I said, you can read her notes. She's had trouble with insurance and that. The architect should be out this month to assess the roof line to see how he can...
Barbara, just one quick question I have. This was originated in December of last year.
Yes. Right. And as
I know, they don't usually take that long to get to it.
She wants to. They live in Alabama.
Okay.
She wants to make this a retirement home. I know her mother lives down here. And she wants to expand the house. She wants to... She basically had to go in and clean up. A lady died in there. She had to go in and take loads of stuff out. She wants to fix it up properly, and that's what she was working for. And I did give her a long time to, you know, she has dealt with architects, which takes time. She does have a contractor to, not on board yet, but she does have one who can come in and do this. the architect is supposed to be out there this month. And so she really wants to expand it and make it better, not just go ahead and fix it up the way it is. And
so the time lapse was with our knowledge, more or less.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure that we weren't ignored problems.
And like I said, her major thing is she cannot get insurance because of the roof, and she did not want to put people out there without having insurance on her property.
Ms. Brown, I can add for Barbara, the nothing violation does indicate that there was re-inspection in February of 11, April of 11, and then again in August. So they've been working apparently and revisiting the property.
She also, as you can read in her letter, she has problems with her one neighbor. She had to put up a fence. So she has put up the fence and stuff like that. Just not what we can visually see yet.
So your recommendation is for noncompliance with a progress report next month?
Right, and the architect should be able to tell me a better time frame of and what he's going to do with the roof.
Day.
Right, because she's trying to make it a three-bedroom house instead of just two.
You want to set a compliance date, Barbara, and we can possibly amend it at our next meeting along with the progress report if necessary?
March 2012.
Okay, that'll be March 1st. Okay, based on the inspector's testimony and recommendation, chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing respondent until March 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a plan with $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Progress report.
With a progress report
December.
Due at our December 8th, 2011 meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members
yes,
of the board?
Yes, please.
Ms. Kundick?
Barbara, I'm concerned about the roof. The roof has been in this condition since 2010. When roofs are in that condition, they tend to leak, which makes the interior vulnerable. I'm wondering why all of a sudden now we're going to do architectural work. That excuse doesn't fly with me when you have
She was always going to do architectural. She was always going to.
So it's been almost a year, and we have nothing since she was first notified.
Yes. Like I said, a big part of it is insurance, and I'm sure there's more. I'm not.
Well, you can't get insurance on a house unless your house has a roof that works. You're just not going to get it.
She has found one insurance company, actually, that she can do, and will do it for 6 months, but until she can get the work actually done, she doesn't want to get it for the 6 months. Does that make sense?
Well,
if she gets 6 months insurance now and she's not prepared to do the work, then that lapses.
I'm just concerned that this letter was written November 8th, and
right, because she could not be here herself.
Well, her property is here, so I personally don't want, I am against this motion. I'd really like to see either plans in progress, or I'd like to see the roof fixed immediately. I think there are other options than just giving her more time. And I also believe that all these other things that are in this letter have nothing to do with this case. I mean, I'm sorry that, you know, the person was ill that was in there. But I don't see, and I'm sorry she's having problems with encroachment and all of that, but I don't see what it has to do with this case.
If I may, Barbara, I think you said that she wanted to extend the size of the property.
She wants the footprint, right.
So I think, and I'm going to go out on a limb and just take a guess here, Ms. Kundick, I think what she's trying to do is maybe establish the property line so she'll know exactly how far she can go out, and it has been determined that there's some encroachment by the neighbors. So until she rectifies those issues, I don't think she can move forward with the building or the construction of the extension and repairing some of the other things.
I don't think making a quick fix and making this look pretty ultimately is going to solve the issues. I think it's better to let her go in and repair this house.
Because
I disagree, because I think that she can, that she needs to take control of this building, and letting a roof leak like that is not taking control of the building. I believe she needs to do something to take control of the building, because I do not see any proof that she, you know, I mean, she may be talking to people and she may be doing a lot of other things, but she's not taking charge of this building. I'm not asking her to improve the building. I'm asking her to stabilize it.
Let me say something as well before you say something, Tony. I think part of it, too, and this is, again, my guess or speculation, Ms. Kundick, I think if she spends the money now to repair or bring the property into compliance, once she extends the building, she's probably going to have to
redo
everything again, and that's just
going
to be an undue expense, I would imagine.
Mr. Chair, I have a suggestion. And first of all, let me just get some clarification. Is this a single family home?
Yes.
Okay, would the intent to be
a single family?
Residential single family.
Right.
The suggestion I have is that why don't we, and hopefully Barbara's fine with this, but why don't we just do a progress report next month? And from that progress report, then perhaps the board can evaluate the suggestions of time period for compliance. And with that progress report, and I know I don't usually ask this, and I know it's going to be a tremendous burden, but somehow or another, I think that this person, having been involved in working on this for a year by that time, should have someone present, whether it's her or she hires someone on her behalf to be here, or whatever it takes, so that someone can be here speaking on her behalf on what her plans are, how she plans to go about it, with some type of as Ms. Kundick said, some type of timeline or some understanding of where this is going. It's been a year. Where are we going now? And with some assurances that we're going to get.
I believe Mr. Smart.
I was going to suggest the architect possibly be here. He's from Port Orange.
Oh, okay.
Has she secured the architect?
The architect, yes.
Okay.
He's going to be out there this month. Sometime this month.
And the only reason I'm asking, Barbara, before we change everything for him to come in December, is December going to be enough time versus us asking him to come in January? That's my only question. I understand he's been retained, but
he might not have the plans drawn, but he should have an evaluation, I would think.
Well, let me just... Again, let me just say this. It's been a year. She's had people involved, apparently. Alabama is not that far, even though it's a hardship.
Okay.
It very well should be the property owner, someone who is going to commit, looking you and you guys in the face, that this is where I'm going and this is what I'm going to do. Whether or not, I know we don't really have a practice of compelling someone, especially out of state. I don't know if I want to tell you to do that, but it seems like unless we have something more than just the person who happens to be working on this little portion of it, I don't know if we really get the answers that you're going to need to make the decisions that you'll need for this next meeting.
Go ahead.
I wasn't asking for her to be here, whomever. I mean, I just wanted to know before we bring the architect in, would he have something to present if we make it for December versus making it for January? I agree totally that we need to find out what's going on. I just want to make sure, you know, that we say December and we really can't get an answer. And, you know, that's all I was asked, whether this should be December or January. That's it.
Okay, if I may. To me, this is unsatisfactory. As a supervisor, that this case be open for a year and we're being strung along. I agree with Tony. I think we should just do it as a cutoff, a progress report cutoff on for December. Have the property owner come in. If he or she is in the plan or in the process of having any type of additions made to the property or anything, then she can set a definitive time frame and let us know as far as what her plans or intentions are. But to string us along for approximately almost a year and have nothing done whatsoever to the property, to me, is unsatisfactory. And, again, I truly apologize because this should have been brought way sooner before the board. And, again, I support Tony's suggestion that the cutoff be set for December and we obligate the property owner to come before the board and give us a time frame on what he or she intends to do.
I think, was it Mr. Smart?
I need a comment, if I may.
Sure.
We ask for progress reports, and we come back with a progress report, and we say, well, we want to take action, but it's a progress report. I think we need to, if let's make a next cutoff date. We have a hearing to impose fine, and if they have a good reason for an extension, we can give an extension. If they don't, we fine them.
I think
that this progress report, then what we can't do anything because it's a progress report, doesn't work.
Right.
Just delay so we go.
So non-compliance next cutoff.
That's fine.
Our usual motion.
Yeah.
Amy, who had the motion? Was Mr. Smart? Yes. Yeah.
With Mr.
Second.
Brown was the second.
Okay. Mr. Smart, would you consider amending your motion?
Yes.
To allow, well, requiring the respondent to bring the property into compliance by December 1st. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Would you consider? Okay. So the motion is that we're requiring the respondent to bring the property into compliance by December 1st to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Yes. There are additional questions or comments by members of the board.
Here that means that
they have to have
we can always say
we can amend if necessary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
And
Amy, did we include the non-compliance in there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So it's up to the code officer to inform them that we want somebody here in person? Or?
I will give a call today.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving forward, case number 9. The CEB 09-11136, Pamela S. and Robert Honeycutt Jr. 7.
Can we go to 9 and then he'll do 7? I only got this last one. John's
okay.
Got it.
Number 9.
Number 9. My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the City. This is case number CEB 09-11136, City of Daytona Beach versus Pamela S. and Robert Honeycutt Jr. Property address is 20 South Grandview, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number, ID number is 04153301110060. The violations are Land Development Code, Article 18, Section 4.4C, Chapter 90-297, Code of Ordinances, paint, weeds, and no occupation license. The statutory requirements of notification of this hearing has been met by the notice of hearing. An affidavit of code violation were sent certified mail to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office. And the green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address at the City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of these items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through G and the originals have been submitted to the clerks as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member to their use during this hearing. Originally, I was going to amend to the summer cutoff, but I was asked by permits and licensing to impose the one-time fine of $250. Reason being is I pulled the license report, and in July 11, 2011, Brian Severson, the fire inspector, he had made an appointment with the owner July 11th to do the rental inspection, and they canceled. Then on October 17, 2011, they made an appointment with Ron Roberts, the building inspector. He had no access, but I don't understand he put no access on it, but apparently he did the inspection and he put down that it failed. Then also they made another appointment, and it was supposed to be yesterday, November 9th, with David Houlihan, the plumbing inspector, and they canceled that one. So reason being, that's why they wanted to go ahead and impose this fine.
So he has tenants. They have tenants.
He has tenants, from what I understand. And these are recent photos. And he did take care of the peeling paint. That's now in compliance. I was there yesterday. I did a drive-by, and I noticed that he did address that. The weeds and overgrown grass, he's taking care of that, and he's maintaining it. That sign was like that on the, just recently, last week, and he took that down. But as for the occupation license, he still hasn't obtained that. He does own other properties, and apparently he's doing rental inspections on all of them, but he's not following through.
Okay. Excuse me for being dense, and I guess I really am. In an earlier case, we said we don't want to go in and force the no occupational license because you'll get the $250 fine and we'll never go in there. What is the point of the occupational license if it isn't to secure a safe environment and a clean environment? I know you have the legal question. I'm asking you the real question. Why are we playing this constant game of these people renting out properties? They refuse to let the inspector in. So now, if we do the $250 fine, by my understanding, he's got a free ride from that point on.
1 year.
And before, we didn't want to do that because it would give him a free a ride.
I don't know if you're referencing a case that we dealt with today, Mr. Harrington.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in the other case, if I remember correctly, we had not brought that forward as a violation.
Yes, you're right.
Correct.
It wasn't on there.
Right. Correct.
That was the technicality.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to talk about, what do you want to call it, ethical or practical? Or what is the point of this occupational license if it doesn't stop what has ruined that area for years? Is all of this non-compliance, chop up a house, let's do all this, and then play the city for 2 years with these hearings. And I am rather frustrated with it. And this is going to cause us to lose 50 cases in court, but the question needs to be addressed someday, sometime.
In all fairness, Mr. Harrington, I would think that would probably be a question we save till the end. Bring up to Tony.
Well,
just in all fairness, you know.
Sounds good to me.
In all fairness to Mr. Garcia, they worked with him.
Wasn't his fault.
Right.
No.
And
that's really the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring it up.
Books.
It's on the books.
Can I throw something out real quick? I'm not an attorney, but I was here a few years ago, whenever the statute was talked about in the city commission meeting. And it's a statute that was developed or created by the state.
Yeah.
And the city is bound by those guidelines that the state has established. So we cannot charge an administrative fee more than $250. And we have the city attorney sitting in the back.
No, my question isn't the amount of fines.
No, but the thing is, Mr. Harrington, if the inspector can go in, then we have the opportunity to find other violations, but until that occurs, we just don't have it. We just don't have the leverage or the opportunity to create fines unless they can visibly see some violations. I agree. We're all frustrated by the
You know what this reminds me of? The argument of eminent domain. When we go round and round in a circle saying the state allowed it. Maybe this needs to come to the courts, and that's not our...
Right.
Well, it could be our job.
Yeah.
It could be. Well, very well.
But again, that's something that's, like that was established by the state of Florida and not by the city of Daytona Beach. I'm pretty sure there are other officials in the city who were frustrated by it as well.
Well, it defeats our purpose of the CRAs. It totally defeats it.
Okay.
Are we going to talk about this later?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's the...
We need to stay on our own board.
Okay.
And I'm about to move forward on this.
Being the bad boy.
Chair would entertain a motion based on the testimony of the inspector and recommendation that we impose a one-time administrative fee of $250 upon the respondent. Is there such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Borens, second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
We need a second motion for the...
Just a quick question. I just realized, Mr. Chair, that was to include as addition the 250.
Right.
Because the only item, the dirty crack retaining wall, has that been fixed?
Everything is, all exterior has been taken care of.
So everything's been taken care of but the application?
Yes, sir.
So we're clear.
Okay.
All right. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 7 is CEB 0811120, Hugh H. and Cynthia A. Barrett. Property is located at 149 South Hollywood Avenue. Just responded here. Good morning, John.
Good morning. My name is John Stenson. I'm code enforcement inspector employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This case is CEB 0811120, City of Daytona Beach versus Hugh H. and Cynthia A. Barrett. Property address is 149 South Hollywood Avenue. Parcel number is 5309072502010. We are here to discuss violations of the insect screens, which is the only violation left on this property. All statutory requirements have been met for notification to the property owner. I have been in contact with the owner and the property manager. And like I said, the only thing left is screens. And we are recommending a small motivational fine because of the length of this case, of $25 per day until compliance is met.
You have a maximum, John?
This is non-owner. Yeah.
$10,000
is it?
$20,000?
It's multi.
Under $500,000?
Under.
20.
Yes, 20.
Max 20?
Yes.
Max out of 20,000. Have they communicated at all with you, John, with regards to the screens?
Yes. Not with regards to the screens, but at this point, this is the only thing left, and there was quite a bit of work to be done. I mean, you had graffiti, windows, doors, exterior walls. There was about 2 pages of violations.
That they fixed.
That they have already fixed, correct. And the only thing outstanding now are the screens.
So, you know, and what I'm getting at is that, you know, that's minor. Mm-hmm. By the time they received notice, they would have accrued probably about $1,000. No.
No, it's at $25 a day.
No. I mean, the $25... Okay.
25 per day, you
say. Right. It's 20. I'm just thinking if we should go with something less, because we just want to encourage them to get this done, because they've done the major part.
Why don't we just take effect in 10 days or 2 weeks so that we get the notice?
So we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. That's the only question I have.
So, Mr. Chair, the 25 does not start today.
Once we make that decision for today or another date, it's up to the board. You have a recommendation, Ms. Hines?
I really, if you've done everything, as my recommendation is that we next month, December.
Just amend.
If it's not done by then, we're fine.
Mr. Chair, I think that in the minutes, I think he's been given 2 months already. John, when did he do all of this other work? That's been done for a little while, right?
Actually, it's been in an ongoing process.
Right.
I've had many inspections on the property.
Right.
He's had a lot of work to do.
Right.
And he's made great progress in all
right.
that he does have left that are the screens. I would like to change one thing. We can cap that at $5,000 instead of $20,000, being that he has already put forth all of this effort.
John, Mrs. Himes brought up a point. She said because of the progress that the respondent has made, she's wondering if we should, instead of imposing a fine today, maybe give the respondent until the next cutoff to bring the property into full compliance. What are your thoughts about that?
I have no objection.
I would agree with that suggestion. Let's give them till the next cutoff and then give them the $25 a day fine.
Ms. Himes, would you like to make the motion or
yes.
Mr. Borns?
Yes, motion.
Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
Yeah. I motion that we give them to a cutoff date compliance of December 9th.
First.
December 1st.
Would you also like to establish if the property is not brought into compliance by the 1st
yes.
of December, Ms. Himes,
if
would you?
If it's not brought into compliance by December the 1st, it will be $25 per day starting that date with a cap of
$5,000. Okay.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Himes, second by Ms. Borns. I mean, Mr. Borns. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Case number 18 is CEB 1111154. I believe that's Anjira, Acaveria. And the property is located at 610 Colfax Drive. No occupational license. We're here to determine compliance and non-compliance.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson. I'm a code enforcement inspector employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 1111154, City of Daytona Beach versus Argiro. I'm really going to screw up that last name. Okay. Property address is at 610 Colfax Drive in Daytona Beach. Parcel ID is 52381503-0100. The violations that we are addressing today is no occupational license. And they applied for the occupational license on 11-8-11. Original inspection is scheduled for the 15th of this month. City would like to next cutoff. The next cutoff would be
non-compliance. Next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until December 1st, 2011, to bring the property into compliance, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I'm not exactly sure who had the motion. Is it Mr. Smart or Mr. Himes or Mr.
That's Ms. Himes and
Himes.
Second Mr. Smart.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 12. CEB 1011146, Lenita Perry, Bertha Abigail Perry, Adeniji, and Janice Cecilia Perry Hodge. The property is located at 342 North Charles Street. Is the respondent here?
It's the code officer here.
And that's Eddie's case. Mm-hmm.
We could have just a moment.
myself probably can handle this on behalf of the inspector, but he is here.
You got to introduce yourself and read through that.
I think he should also be sworn.
John, did you put up the pictures on that?
Yep. Current pictures. The property has been boarded up by the city.
One, two.
You have to introduce yourself.
I'm sorry?
You have to go through your protocol.
Oh. Eddie Lopez, I'm sorry. Eddie Lopez, code enforcement officer for the city of Daytona Beach. My credentials are with the city of Daytona. Case number is CEB 1011146, Linda Perry, Bertha Abigail Perry, Adenji, and Janice Cecilia.
Perry Hodge.
This property was basically was boarded up by the city. There's current pictures that I took yesterday afternoon. The property is secured. There is no ingress on the property, and no observation of any trespassing around the property was observed at the time of the inspection.
Did you say it is boarded up now?
Yes. There was a current picture. There's a current picture that was taken yesterday afternoon of the side front. That's not a current picture. There was all the windows around the property have been boarded up.
So is it in compliance now?
Mr. Chair, just on this, is the inspector on that. The violation that's noted here is that it has broken windows. The windows have not been repaired.
Okay.
So to secure the building, the city boarded the building.
Wow.
The fact that the building is boarded up would not bring the property into compliance. It won't be in compliance until those windows are repaired. So the property remains in non-compliance.
Right. Thanks, Tony.
And Mr. Chair, also the first name is deceased. And as you can see, every night the board is taken down and someone is in it.
Tony, did you hear what Mrs. Himes said?
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Himes has indicated that Lenita Perry is deceased. And she's also indicating that it appears that every night at least one board is removed and someone is occupying the property or the building, the dwelling.
No observation I've seen on that in the past 2 days, today and yesterday. When I did my inspection and took the pictures, the current pictures, if John, if you will, please, the three pictures that I took on the property. I walked the property. All the windows are boarded up. The front door is boarded. It's secured. I see no activity on the property.
But that has been a problem in the past, that someone was living in there.
That was when I presented my case to you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe speaking with one of the neighbors, I believe it was a family member, if you will, but I have not seen that person. The property currently now is secured.
Is this the one where they had the family member that they did not want to stay in there?
That's my understanding.
Did they get the trespass arrest?
No.
That would be the only solution I think that we have right now, or most immediate one would be making the trespass arrest site so that we can intervene when we see that person. Yeah, otherwise, to our knowledge, it's secure. I hear what you're saying, so I guess the inspector can follow up on that and ensure that it's still with it. But.
So, in essence, our fine would be imposed for the costs that we need to use to secure it?
No, actually, as Mr. Jackson indicated, the property still is not in compliance.
Okay.
If the cost for boarding up the property would be imposed.
So we, in addition to the fine, can we recover the cost that the city has
What you can do is you can order lien the property for the costs.
In addition to the fine.
Right.
Do we have an estimated cost, Eddie? Do we have a cost of labor and materials for the city that the city
incurred?
Yes, sir, please.
Incurred? Mr. Chair.
Pardon?
Please. Yes.
What's the cost?
Mr. Chair, we can get the invoice from the contractor. We don't have it at hand right now.
Okay.
But I can get that to you all, and
you can make a motion.
I'll just make the motion that we'll city recover the cost.
Yeah.
And what's your recommendation in terms of the fine amount and maximum?
Well, if we can fine them for the cost.
No, for the violation. For the violation.
The cost for the boarding up is going to be placed on a lien. Right. The board's recommendation.
What's your recommendation?
What our recommendation is for the violation itself.
If they impose a fine of $75 a day for noncompliance, will be the recommendation.
Effective today.
With a max of $10,000.
Base, go ahead.
I just have a quick question. Is it just one window that was?
Yes, that was broken. It was the window towards the west side of the property, which is this window right here. The front window that was broken at the time of the inspection.
Now, were the rest of those windows already boarded?
Yes. Most of the windows on this side here towards the rear was boarded, and I have pictures of that, as well as the front here. I believe the first two front windows were boarded by the city, and towards the north side of the building, the two windows towards the north side of the building was boarded. The front door was already boarded, and the front window, picture window that we see here, was boarded.
When you say boarded by the city, is that something we already dealt with before?
The city has bought property throughout the city that has been vacant.
I understand, but is that something we've already put in to recoup our fees for?
You mean the board?
The previous boarding.
No.
Oh, I don't know. We haven't.
No.
Previous boarding has not been included on the, if I understand your question correctly, the previous boarding has not been submitted as a bill, so to speak. So if you would like, we can find out what the total boarding of that property cost the city, present that to you, or...
No, I think we can cover that just in a motion to include the cost that the city has incurred.
If it's total billing, then whatever it costs us, we'll submit to the clerk, and she can file it.
Right, yeah. Eddie, pardon me, but I don't recall if you've said if there has been any contact with the owners, excluding the deceased.
That's correct. All my information that I obtained at the time of my inspection was with a neighbor that I spoke with and obtained some information.
Chair would entertain a motion based on the respondent's testimony and recommendation that the respondents be fined $75 per day, effective today, November 10th, 2011, to include the cost of materials and labor that have been incurred by the city of Daytona Beach in a lien, in the form of a lien, and with a maximum amount of fine, including interest, of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Shouldn't the motion be in addition to?
Yes.
You said include. I think the motion should be
in addition to,
and
thank
include.
You. Right. I meant to say in addition to. Thank you, Mr. Arendt.
In addition to, not include.
Do you have a motion, Mr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
Would you consider amending?
Yes, sir. With that language change in the motion. Yes, sir.
And Mr.
Yes, sir.
Lawrence, the cost that the city have incurred will be in addition to the lien amount of $75 per day, effective today, with a maximum amount of $10,000. The motion was by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borens. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Page number 22. is CEB 111158, Land Trust 554, Cedar, dated 11-17-09. The property is located at 554 Cedar Street. Hi. And the respondent is here.
I'm Eddie Lopez with Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number is CEB 111158, City of Daytona Beach versus Land Trust 554 Cedar, DTD. Property address is 554 Cedar Street. Parcel ID number is 39153346050101. This property is located within the city limits of Daytona Beach. The violation is Article 1, Section 4.3C of the Land Development Code, dorm living. The notice of hearing and affidavit of code violations was sent certified mail and received. All of the items of this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled Exhibit A through F. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate of what I observed on my inspection. This property sits on the corner of Cedar and Division. It had three tenants. I spoke with one of the tenants as early as yesterday afternoon. She informed me that the tenant on the rear here has moved, as well as the tenant in front. She's returned an eviction notice, and she's about to move within the coming days. There is one tenant that's living upstairs. I did was able to enter the property and observed a split of the property as using as a dorm type living, if you will. Upstairs has a front door, so they have privacy to go upstairs. So that's one apartment. And downstairs, as you see here, if you could go back, please, one picture, is the apartment on the first floor. I did speak with the property owner over the phone, and she informed me that she was going to attend to it. The property, there's only one tenant there, two tenants, according to the person that I spoke to yesterday. Based on the evidence provided, is bring the property to a single-family standard, obtain a rental license with the City of Daytona within 30 days. Currently, there is no rental license on the property.
Mr. Lopez, just for the record, before we swear the respondent in, can you tell us who you spoke to, just for the record?
I spoke with the tenant on the first floor.
Do you have a name?
Kamik? No, I don't. It's hard to pronounce, and I can't remember how it was pronounced.
Okay. We do have a respondent present.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Constance Mitchell.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, thank you.
Ms. Mitchell, you can pull the mic down towards you.
Good morning, Ms. Mitchell. Can you tell us your relationship with Land Trust 554 Cedar, dated 11-17-09?
Yes, I was just asked to come for them. They are going to be here next week, and they plan to take care of this. I'm really not aware of all the details except for what I'm just hearing now. But I do know that they did intend to be here today, and that next week, I believe, is when they will actually be here. And they told me that they were applying for this occupational license and planning to bring it up to code.
And what is your relationship to the Land Trust?
I'm just
organization?
A friend. I have no ownership.
Okay.
I was just asked if I could come here for them.
And just for the record then, based on your testimony, you have been given authority to speak on their behalf. Is that correct?
Correct.
And they're coming in next week to make sure everything's taken care of?
Yes, she actually gave me the date, but I don't remember what it is. I just remember thinking it was next week.
Okay. Eddie, what's your recommendation in terms of compliance?
Recommendation is to obtain an occupational license and bring the property to standards of a single-family residence within 30 days, sir.
Okay. Do we have any contact information for the respondents?
I know the respondent is out of California. She does have someone that's supposedly a property manager, if you will, in Orlando.
And I do see two signatures on the cards.
Yes.
Okay. I think it would be unfair to ask Ms. Mitchell if she is aware, was aware of the violations, because she did state that she's just a friend and was asked to come forward.
Yeah, I did speak with her verbally over the phone and informed her of the dorm living violation.
Okay. Would you say next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
Eddie, I just have one quick question. The issue of the occupational license isn't listed on here. Is that on file? It's not listed on our copy. I just wanted to make sure.
No, it's listed on the notice of violation as a remedy. Mm-hmm. Obtain occupational license. She was also cited on another case that was brought in front of you about the occupational license. So it's not a new request. It was already brought to you at once at another different case.
You say there's a property manager. Aren't they responsible for...
The property owner is responsible for any and all violations of the property. The property owner.
Not the property manager.
No.
No.
Yes.
All right. There's a notice in the record or a letter, a certified mail that was dated September 27, 2011, indicating what Mr. Lopez stated. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
I was just going to say, if there are no more questions, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to find and respond to noncompliance, allowing them to next cut off to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and a $250 administrative. Administrative.
I'm sorry, that's not on there. He was saying that was an older case that he was.
That's another case?
Yes.
So we just need to consider $1,000 day fine.
Second. We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Barnes. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Compliance date is 12/1/2011. You're going to miss this last one, Ms. Himes? For the record, I'd like to indicate that Mrs. Himes is stepping away. Time is approximately 11:20 a.m. Case number 23 is CEB 1111159 HFDB LLC. Property is located at 100 North Nova Road. Thanks, Ms. Mitchell. Thank you. And...
My name is Eddie Lopez. I'm Eddie Lopez with the Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are with the City of Daytona Beach. Case number CEB 1111159, City of Daytona Beach versus HFDB LLC. Property address is 100 North Nova Road, located within the city limits of Daytona. Parcel number ID is 39153302570030. Violation is Article 8, Section 6.5 B and D, site restoration from the Land Development Code. The statutory requirements for this notification has been met by certified mail. The pictures you're about to see are true and accurate. This property is a commercial property that has been demoed back in 2006. Currently, the grade on this property, it's uneven. Property management has put sod, but they have not obtained a permit. They, according to the notice of violation that was issued to them, they need to obtain a permit and meet the requirements, even grade of the property. The property manager has requested a week's time to come into compliance. He's been trying to get in contact with the zoning officer there to meet the requirements that are requested by the zoning and planning. She has kind of a hard time obtaining that contact. She emailed me and requested a week. The city is requesting 30 days to come into compliance, obtain the new demolition permit. meet the grade, the even grade, and all the requirements by the city zoning and planning.
Hey, do you think that's reasonable for them to be able to bring the property into compliance by the next cutoff, which is December 1st, 2011?
Yes, sir. I believe 30 days is a reasonable amount of time to obtain the permit and put the even grade and meet the requirements of the zoning and planning.
Okay. Just for the record, Mrs. Himes has returned. The time is approximately 11:22 or 23 a.m. Chair would entertain a motion based on the inspector's testimony and recommendation that the respondent be found in noncompliance and be allowed until December 1st, 2011 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per, up to $1,000 per day.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. So other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. That will do it for cases. Miscellaneous business. You know?
I think we're probably somewhat deviated from what the goal of this board is. I remember we are a quasi-judicial board to make decisions as if we were judges. I think if you want to go ahead and discuss a particular ordinance or interpretation, the end of the meeting is fine. I think during the particular cases, we shouldn't be talking about we don't like this ordinance, we don't like the way it's being administered. I think it's very important that we stick to the case, that the goal is, did they commit the violation? We want to give them time to resolve the violation. We want to go ahead and need additional information, perhaps. We want a progress report, that's fine. But I think we need to stop the editorializing during the case themselves. Wait till the end of the meeting if you want to do that. That'd be a better way to do it. Because I think that, you got to remember, you would never see a judge do that. You'd never see a judge get up there and say, well, I really like the ordinance. If I like the way it's interpreted, we didn't get back to Trish about that. I think we need to do that probably at the end of the... Not picking anybody. You were one of the folks, bunch of people. We need to do it at the end of the meeting and just deal with the particular violation at that particular time and keep your other stuff tonight. Yeah. And a lot of the comments you made are very good. And they make a lot of sense.
Could I editorialize?
I got what you said.
Could I editorialize when we're through on the record? I love jury nullification myself.
Again, the only to the attorney, the only thing that really sort of frightens me is when we get off into openly giving information. I'm just using this as a reference. If someone can't pay, we suggest they use a reverse mortgage or we do something. I don't think that's our...
No, we just don't get any remedies.
To get into those because they come back. Yeah, they come back on.
No, don't worry. You should not be telling people how to come into compliance. Are they non-compliant or are they compliant?
Are we off the record now?
We're on the record, sir.
Okay, then I'm waiting till after the meeting.
Yeah, we're after the meeting. Yeah, we'll
okay.
Is there any other additional or miscellaneous business?
We can't talk about... We're not talking about cases now, but we can talk about code enforcement in general now. Is that correct?
Just don't do that during the case.
Right, absolutely. Okay. Understood. That makes sense. I know what I think Mr. Harrington was referring to. I understand the state statute, the $250 is all we may fine someone. That's understood, clearly understood. The process that we get to that point is something that I think the city commission needs to direct us on more. What most businesses and rentals are described as a business get inspections once a year. And if they don't get those inspections, they cannot operate. And I think that's where we're kind of having the disconnect. Because nobody's arguing with $250. It's the ability to continue to operate without any inspections. And I'm not sure that this is up to our board at all. I think it's up to the commission to either change the laws as they have in other cities and to reiterate that Rentals are businesses, and if you don't have an inspection, you are not allowed to operate as a business. That right now we're dealing with what we have, and I don't know that that the laws in our town are specific enough to go after that. I think they need to be tightened up, but it's really not. We need to ask other people to, I mean, the lawmakers to do that.
Mr. Chair, didn't we forward this concern to the commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Evidently not loud enough for
right.
me, anyway. I just think this is a very serious situation that's been going on here for years and years, and to tell me that it's the state doesn't cut it. You may be absolutely right.
I don't know.
The fee. But to allow people to keep coming in here and buying properties to make money is great. But they also understand that we have certain rules that in that process, and as such as dorm living, such as maintaining a safe, hospitable thing. And if we can't, as a city, come up with some kind of ruling, we're pathetic. Because all you've done is create this misery that's been going on the beachside and in other areas for years, which one property owner decides, well, I'll pay the $250 fine, I'm off. The next one does it, and the whole neighborhood looks. And when we go through the sham of a CRA, and we're going to... you had 9 or 10 cases come up here, the same thing, people... property, they tell you right out front, I bought it, I have tenants, I'm out to make a buck. And I'm saying that somewhere along the side, I don't know if this is board meeting, I'm sorry to take you out, but somewhere the citizens of this city need to say we have certain standards here, and we somebody, the city commission or whoever, has to take a stand on this specific issue of this rental license, what it means.
I agree with both of you. We have two attorneys here. I know we can't do anything as far as, you know, taking action, but who do we talk to get someone to take action? The city commission, or you have to go to the state?
But I know we did do that to the commissioners.
Yes, we did. This has already been done.
It's already been done.
And there was, it's sort of dropped. And when I asked personally, they told me that it was state and that it had to go that way.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not standing to rush. I'm having leg cramps severely here. But, It's annoying, but...
Well, how convenient it is, the state. We went to...
No, it deals with the money.
No, state, yeah. It's just the fine. It has nothing else
to always, do. It's always a boogeyman somewhere they can blame why we won't take any action.
When we... My question, I'm sorry.
Our attorneys...
The question I have, and I think it came up before, okay, if a person doesn't have a occupational license... That means that they can't use that property for business. Didn't we bring up before, then that leaves the occupant in a position where we can't evict? That they're our responsibility if they're evicted? Isn't that what we discussed before?
I don't know. But here's what I do recall. It's two things. One is, y'all asked who you tell, and y'all have told who you tell. Y'all told the people you tell that can make the change, and that's the commission, and whatever action they take, you know, is obviously within their purview. Understand that what we issue is what we call an occupational license is actually a business tax receipt. And because it's a business tax receipt, what we're doing is just requiring them to pay a tax. And the only effect of not getting the tax payment is that we don't get the tax payment. I mean, and that's why we're limited to, you discussed, and I think y'all even made the suggestion of creating some type of a permitting process or something else that would create something that would be have an enforcement greater than the lack of the inability to collect or the failure to collect the tax. So, but our limit on what we can do in the statute is because it is an occupational license or a tax receipt, business yeah. tax receipt. You know, a person without a business tax receipt, you know, it's not a permit in the sense of authorizing them to do the business or to necessarily prohibit them.
Well, now it's not, but maybe we could. In South Daytona, let me read what it says. Complementary to the amendment set forth in Section 1, blah, 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 shall construe the local business tax receipt as a type of permit. That is a type of permission which is granted as a privilege and not as a right, which may be issued or renewed to a business if the business is found through application or renewal review process to be in compliance with all the regulations and conditions.
Right, and not in disagreement. They have taken an action, and I think it's kind of what y'all have suggested right. or asked to be taken here, and that's but that's commission determination.
This board has asked the commission to take a look at that entire issue because we're concerned about it. Okay, has the commission done that, or what is the mechanism to have the commission do something like that? And then they may turn around and say we don't want to change anything.
I'm sorry, I really don't recall how.
I do.
I know the commission has looked at it, but I don't know, I don't recall the mechanism that
would it be the chairman to approach the commission, or would it be you to do that, or we just want the commission to take a look at it. They may decide to do nothing.
I think I'm hearing Ms. Hamm say she recalls what has happened up to this point.
It was brought up in our city commission meeting. That was that. It was no real. Put in it even then.
And that doesn't mean there hasn't been any kind of staff input or staff time done on it. I'm not going to say that. There's some thought here that maybe there's been some talk, there's been some review. But I don't know the extent of that. And obviously also separate, you know, if the commission instructs or discusses with staff in a certain way, then there may be activity that's been going on. So the presumption that there's nothing happening may not be a fair presumption.
Well, Mr. Garcia, is new here. He weren't here when we had these issues. Are you familiar with the concerns this board has concerning that particular issue? Maybe you can come up with some, you can discuss it and come up with maybe some ideas. Or, you know, it's not our responsibility to change
right.
the law.
That's
we
right.
interpret the law as you have it. The board is saying that they're frustrated with that particular ordinance.
I can see the board's frustrations. And again, we have to be very careful when it comes to the rental licenses, or let me rephrase that, business tax receipts, mm-hmm. because that's technically what the rental
right.
mm-hmm. ordinance states right now. However, again, if we were to say, well, you can't live here any longer, and we put them out, we now assume the responsibility of having to relocate that family or that individual and bear the expense. So there's a sort of like a double-edged sword there, and we have to be very careful. However, there are ordinances out there, and I'll definitely look into
that. That would be wonderful.
And Tony and I can get together. I mean, again, as I previously stated when I first came on and I introduced myself to the board, there will be some changes. However, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic or anything, but Rome was not built in one day. There are priorities out there that we have to come up with and meet. The rental ordinance. And I think some of you saw the frustration in me today where a case is dragging on for a year and no action is being taken. Those are one of the things, and Mr. Cino can tell you, that I will not accept from my officers. If there's a case open, I mean, I could understand helping someone. And that's the other thing. We're here to gain voluntary compliance, not to impose fines or to make someone's life miserable. However, if we need to help someone along the way, I'm more than happy to make that recommendation to you all. But if I see somebody who's stringing us along, as we saw earlier, that's not acceptable. And those are things those are one of the priorities that I'm trying to use as an example that I have to set and take care of.
Yeah. For example, you know, in Deltona, they have the rental ordinance, but it's not connected to the business tax return. It's a separate ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we may want to think about things like that might be a possible
exactly.
way.
In Deltona, they have the rental.
Like $30 or something like that.
The property owner has to pay a $35 fee. He has to renew it every year. And it also, he has to allow the city to go in and conduct an inspection. Now, if we were to receive a complaint, and I'm referring to the city of Deltona, that the property was not being properly maintained or anything like that, well, the tenant now can turn around and say, open the door, and here you go, conduct the inspection, because it is part of the agreement that the property owner signs.
Okay.
But as far as a continuous fine, I mean, as far as far back as I can remember, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, we never had to bring a property owner before the board, the magistrate, in terms of that he wasn't doing. I mean, did he or she not register? Yes. And did we allow them time? Most of the time, if they knew that they had to come in to get their registration done, they did. But to say that they had a problem with the interior or the exterior of the home, we I don't recall any cases.
I'm just saying there are some other options. Let them get back with us on that. My only concern was that we need to just make sure that we don't just keep it out of the individual case, that's all.
My question is, and you just stated it, if you go in and you realize it's unfit, what can you do? Nothing, right?
No.
Right now?
Well.
No. That's where we fall into what we have, the International Property Maintenance Code, and we can cite the property owner. However, we're citing them under
separate.
The International Property Maintenance Code. It has nothing to do with the rental. And that's where we have to draw the definitive line and say rental is one thing and the property maintenance is another.
Violations or not. And we talked about this before. Just as a reminder, the way we help what we have existing, the existing rental ordinance, the way we help that along is when we have the opportunity to actually go in and inspect and see violations is the decision on whether or not we cite violations or bring the landowner to require them to bring the property into compliance or bring them into accountability for the conditions of the property. Now, someone who, as we've discussed, if they don't allow an entry,
okay. Then
we don't know what the problem is inside. So we have no evidentiary basis of
but we can deal with the outside.
Yeah, we can deal with as many exterior issues that are there.
The flip side of that is, and let's use a hypothetical situation. I own 123 Main Street, okay? It's a single-family residence. However, I'm renting it out. There's no way for code enforcement to actually know that I'm renting that property out unless a complaint has been made, either A, by the tenant, or B, by some neighbor of some sort. Okay? So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that I, as the property owner, can turn around and say, Tony's my cousin. I'm not renting it to him. He's just staying there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, there's no way to turn around and say, you're lying, basically.
Yeah.
Or to say, I don't believe
you. It's an evidentiary problem.
Correct. There's an evidentiary problem there. So there's different things that, as investigators or as the inspectors are out there, they're stumbling blocks. However, if we bring them, we have to just basically, I guess, deal with it on a case-by-case, because some cases are easier, some cases are cut and dry, and we have to now take Mr. Sino's suggestion is I'll look into other ordinances, because I know, if I'm not mistaken, Hillsborough County has an ordinance when it comes to rentals that definitively breaks it down that they can basically have somewhat control as far as the property owners. They're mandated to do certain things, and if they don't, then they pull the rental license, and then if they do, there's a different ordinance that you can turn around and tack on a daily fine opposed to a one-time business tax receipt. So it's going to take a little time and research to try to.
But we know that all cities and all counties have their own quirks and their
right.
own, you know, things that are
defining. I'm hearing
defining.
The lines, but I think, well, for me, my concern is the tin. I don't think getting money is a problem.
Right.
But I think if you go in and there's, deplorable conditions, I think inevitably my concern is what can we do for the tenant, and nothing.
Well, an educated tenant can invite us in.
Yeah. He invites you in, you find the owner, and what?
If the living conditions are so severe that it is a public safety matter, if it is a
imminent danger?
Correct.
Imminent danger.
Then, yes, we can take action. I can turn around and call the building official in
to shut it down.
Or her, so here's the building. Now we can condemn that building.
Who's going to pay for that person moving?
Then we can find outside resources. We'll go to the Salvation Army. We'll go to the Red Cross.
That's what we have.
Public service.
But yet, in the amount of time that I've been here, I haven't seen a case come up like that. As of yet. Not saying that it hasn't happened. But as of yet, I have not seen a case come where we have to involve a building official to come in and deem a building uninhabitable. I mean, are there violations? Absolutely.
That's an extreme circumstance.
Right. I mean, we've had that, but speaking specifically to situations where an occupied, and I think that's what you're really saying,
right.
an occupied structure where the building official comes in and deems it uninhabitable, is there's other dynamics that you're weighing.
There has to be some extreme exigent circumstance for us to be able to...
How about self-help by the tenant? Our statutes provide that the tenant can withhold payment of rent.
That's absolutely
exactly
correct.
Tenants have power.
Tenants can turn around and say, I'm not going to pay you until you make the correct.
Exactly.
That's correct. And they do have However, control. They can open the door.
Into an escrow account and say, I'm not paying him physically, but here's my money for the rent.
That's right.
And that's something
until
they can do
he
now.
Or she fixes these violations.
Yes.
I'm not going to give it. But again, that's not a code enforcement violation.
Right.
That's now a civil lawsuit
in
landlord and tenant court. That goes to the land. That doesn't come before us here.
And you're back to an educated tenant or a tenant who understands that they don't have to be afraid that someone's going to kick them out and they like where they're living and all of those other issues that go along with when you have a tenant.
But we can follow parallel paths here. The tenant can take action to refuse to pay the rent or escrow it or what have you, but at the same time, the city, this board, can file a complaint.
We can proceed with the violation. And make it known.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. I think this is a really good start, and I'm really happy that you're here, Mr. Garcia, so you know what some of our issues are. We did have a code enforcement workshop some months ago. There are other topics that I'd really like to hear your opinion on, such as chronic nuisance properties versus nuisance abatement, community standards, and how we determine how much money comes back to the city, how much time the city has spent pursuing a case using the boards, whatever.
Actually, Tony and I are going to be working on a flat administrative fee for both code boards and for the special magistrate.
Good.
So we are in the process of doing that. And again, at any given time, I don't know if you all have my number or my email.
No, I'd like to have that.
I'll give you my business card. Let me know if the chair would like. I can set up a workshop. Can we address issues there?
That's what I was going to suggest. That after you get your feet wet a little while, we could come back in a workshop session.
Right. Feet wet.
Feet
swimming.
As opposed to.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that would be wonderful. I appreciate that.
We can address some of the issues or concerns that we have here, questions in a workshop format. I think that'll be best.
Thank you, board, for indulging my left-wing philosophies.
You saw here on the radio.
I think we adjourned.
Yes.